down this wall.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
I'm not a crook.
If you like your health care plan, you'll be able to keep your health care plan.
Jim Paris Live, your source for the latest news on money, politics, prophecy, and preparedness. And now your host, the editor-in-chief of ChristianMoney.com and the author of more than 30 books, Jim Paris.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to our guest segment. We are super excited to have back with us tonight Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis, retired. His new book, Progressive Evil, How Radicals Are Redefining America's Rights, Institutions and Ideals, Making Her Globally Irrelevant for the End Times. Good to have you back with us, Bob McGinnis.
Well, thanks for having me. It's my privilege this evening, Jim.
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
All right. I'm going to turn you up just a little bit on my board. There we go. Wow. This book is fantastic, but I have to ask you, I don't know if you heard any of my first segment. I was suspended for 3 days from Facebook this week for sharing an article from that conservative site, Breitbart.com. And they say that I was suspended for sharing nudity. It is just a regular article. And this is like getting to a point where social media is blocking anything conservative. Does your book, I've got to ask you, if your book gets into this social media war that seems to really be heating up?
Well, it's part of the progressive agenda, using that as a mechanism, certainly a tool to advance their radical views. And so, yes, it has to be. AOC and the cadre of the squad have been, you know, really lighting up the social media to intimidate the likes of the New York Times to change their, you know, certainly some of their titles for articles. And, you know, we've seen it elsewhere. So this is what I would consider certainly a media war, but it's far more dangerous, insidious than just that.
Yeah, it is interesting because with this next election coming up, there's a lot of people speculating about what, you know, the Googles and the Facebooks and the Twitters and all of these folks can do. There was a big story this week about Mitch McConnell. His Twitter account was locked because his campaign people posted this video of these people, like this big mob of people outside his house yelling threats at him and his, well, he's in his home there. And they posted this video to kind of like expose the threats that were being made against him. And so Twitter locked his account for violence. It was violence against him. And he was exposed. It was like he was, and they refused to unlock his account for 2 or 3 days. And so something just, it's really heating up. And that's why I think your book is so timely. So tell us what you mean by this progressive evil.
Well, a bit of introduction. Of course, a couple of years ago, as you know, Jim, I wrote The Deeper State, and I talked about the very things that we've been seeing on the headlines
over the last couple of years. Our most downloaded episode, by the way, that appearance that you had with us.
And it's noteworthy, this new book, Progressive Evil, has just come out, and I've already got Right Wing Watch sending me hate mail. So we know that at least we've got their attention. You know, what people need to understand is, you know, something that I put on the cover of Progressive Evil, and it's basically a quote by the former communist leader Nikita Khrushchev, and I'll read the quote. "We will take America without firing a shot. We do not have to invade the U.S. We will destroy you from within." I think that's exactly what progressives are doing today. A lot of people don't appreciate who they are. And that's why when I wrote Progressive Evil, I had to do a bit of history. I had to, you know, kind of provide a summary of what our civics is as a country, where our founders intended to go with regard to our rights and what the Constitution said, what the Declaration of Independence, why we even had to have one, and what the progressives are doing to the certainly the institutions, the five critical institutions that undergird this country. And then finally, what are the ideals that have really made America an exceptional nation? Those are the very things, the rights, institution, ideals, are what the progressives are attacking. And they're being incredibly successful against each. And that's what I expose. And of course, progressives don't want that information out. And I can understand, because it's pretty intimidating when you look comprehensively at these issues. These are critical times. And when I say that they're going to redefine who we are as a nation, and this may just make us irrelevant in the end times, I clearly mean that they're going to destroy those rights, institutions, and ideals, remaking us into an image of something like what AOC has in mind, Green New Deal, Medicare for All, you know, throwing $210 trillion, if you listen to the last debate, to the wind of the Democratic Party. Those people were just giving away the farm, literally everything. And they also want, ideologically, they want us to all turn and worship, you know, their religion. Of course, you know, I found a very interesting portrayal of what progressivism is as a religion. And I think this is pretty telling. You know, the sacred text of progressivism is the Communist Manifesto. I consider progressivism, Marxism, communism, much the same. The clergy of the progressive happens to be the leftists at the universities, and we all know what's happening in our major universities today, or the political cabal that runs Hollywood. And I just heard you talking about Epstein. You know, he was pretty much in that ilk, the political Hollywood media franchise, doing things that are just amoral. But that's the nature of who these people are. They're heaven. They believe in the advancement of man and the perfection of man. A sinfulness, a sinlessness is what man is advancing to. They really, if you read their doctrine and their literature, that's what they believe. Speaking of their doctrine, you know, these are the things they believe in: same-sex marriage, many genders, abortion on demand, only the fit, and they are very specific here, should reproduce. They believe in euthanasia. Big government is the god, and religion, of course, is the progressivism that pushes that big government. And ultimately, salvation to the religious progressive is to embrace progressivism as a synergy of all of their existence. Those who reject it, though, much like Islam says, if you reject Islam, you're an infidel. Well, progressives are just as bad. Anything that you say that's contrary to what the progressives embrace, they're going to call you a racist, which is the most
used
term
and
lately.
So, and I think it was Rush Limbaugh said this week that since they've called people racists now for so long, it has no effect anymore. So they've had to ratchet it up. And now the new one is white supremacist.
Right.
If you disagree with them, that you're a white supremacist. I have to ask you, did you see this this picture today that's been circulating at all the news stations carrying it online of this young man? I guess he's on the USA fencing team. And they won in Peru in one of the tournaments, and USA team member, and he takes a knee at the national anthem while he's getting his medal. He takes a knee as they play the national anthem, as he's standing on the box, and I think to myself, you know, American exceptionalism, this is now okay to hate your own country. And I can't make any sense of it. It's like if you are on the USA team wearing the flag, participating in the sport, and then you take the knee to the anthem when you get the medal for representing your country, it doesn't even make any rational sense. But this is how people think about their own country.
Well, they do. And, you know, patriotism, of course, you know, which I think is part and parcel of what's absent in that scenario. You know, the right will wave Old Glory freely and boast it on its, you know, on their T-shirts, whereas progressives would rather burn the flag. You know, that's the nature of what we've come to. And, of course, you know, a lot of the public school systems, which progressives took over with the help of John Dewey and a number of other people that I go into great detail in Progressive Evil, you know, they are taking our children and reprogramming them in a way that is going to, you know, really rob them of an understanding of their civics, the roles and responsibilities they have, but use them to really direct this country in a very different direction. No wonder. Millennials, if you look at the polling, Jim, you'll see that almost 40% of all millennials now believe that they would like to live in a socialistic country. But of course, you know, very few can actually define what socialism is yet. You know, it's the big issue, you know.
And they want us to keep our borders open for the people escaping from those countries to come here, while at the same time, they tout how great it must be if our country were only like those countries. This is the part of liberalism that I don't understand intellectually, because there was a thought over the last 3 or 4 years that some of these areas like San Francisco would get so bad because of the progressive policies that right. eventually even the progressives would say, look, this sounded good in a vacuum, but this isn't working out. But they have now a map you get when you go to San Francisco that tells you which streets to walk down so you don't walk through crap. This is
literally.
I mean, yeah. And they're okay with this, because you would think, okay, if it ever got to this point, I mean, it's at that point. It's beyond that point. The failed financial state of California, the failed financial status of Illinois, New Jersey, where all these places where you can go visit progressivism and see the outcome of the policies, it's horrible, but it doesn't seem to matter, even to the people actually living there.
Yeah, well, to some of it, some of them, they're abandoning the middle class is basically packed up and gone to Texas or somewhere else.
Yeah, Texas, you know, and Florida.
I consider California a third world country. You know, I lived in California 4 times, in the elementary school and high school and in graduate school and in language school. You know, so I know California. I used to. But today's California has a corrupt government, unequal or non-existent applicability of laws, no middle class, medieval diseases like typhus and tuberculosis and even the bubonic plague possibly about to break out in Los Angeles. Incredibly high taxes, poor social services, tribalism, gangs, lack of security, you name it. And yet, California has a wonderful climate. It has a great geography. It has natural ports. It has timber. It has mining. It has energy. But when you look at the results of decades and decades of progressive rule, what do you find? You find it's really two things, the poorest and the richest state in the United States. A quarter of the people live below the poverty line. A fifth are near the poverty line. A third are on welfare. And between a fifth and a fourth are homeless, the highest rate in the United States. So how can you have such a wonderful place to live and destroy it? Well, thanks to progressives, that's what's happened. And that's exactly what they want to do to the United States of America, given the opportunity. And all you have to do is sit there and listen to the Democratic Party presidential candidates, and they make that as clear as anything in all their promises to give away virtually everything. I mentioned $210 trillion over the next decade. There's no way this country can afford. We overspend right now at the rate of $3.5-4 trillion a year just to sustain this overwhelming, bloated government. That's what they want to do, but they want to accelerate it by printing a lot of money, and they're going to put us in the poorhouse tomorrow if they're reelected, or if they're elected and they control the Congress as well.
Yeah, you're so right about California. My wife is from there. Such a beautiful area. In San Francisco, a city that I used to love, and now there's not a street in downtown you can walk down without the smell of urine and feces, without homeless people coming up and not asking but demanding for money from you. I mean, it is beyond belief. Now, I know you have the book broken down by amendments to the Constitution, which I love that it's laid out this way. What a great way to organize it. And I was going to maybe try to do a 2-for-1 special here. The First Amendment and the Second Amendment, and I'm going to put it in this context for you. So I just checked the news before we went live tonight, and again this weekend there was more than 41 shootings, 41 people shot in Chicago this weekend. Last weekend, I had originally posted on my social media there were 37 people shot in Chicago, but it actually turned out to be 52 people shot. Now, that means that there is the equivalent of a mass shooting, or maybe even the equivalent of 2 to 3 mass shootings the last 2 weekends in Chicago, but there's virtually no mention of it in the national media. But they go out to these cities, which these were tragedies, of course, El Paso, Dayton, Ohio, tragedies, no doubt. But they selectively cover these stories. So let's maybe hit this together. First Amendment and Second Amendment. What are they trying to do here?
Well, progressives clearly don't want to expose the underbelly of the beast here. They truly want us to be disarmed. You know, the purpose of the Second Amendment was never exclusively just to stand up with militia to put down King George III during the Revolution. You know, the idea is rooted in English law, but of course our Revolutionary War experience against the Brits, you know, made it what it is today. We have the right, based upon the Second Amendment, to defend not only ourselves against tyranny, King George III or whomever, or an over expansive government, but we also have in our hands the right to defend ourselves against criminals, people that want to break in and violate our families and ourselves and our properties. These are things that are fundamental that our founders gave. And yet, you know, progressives have made it very clear. Look at, you know, Elizabeth Warren wants us to have a national special government permit to have a weapon. Now, who do you think is going to oversee that process? It's certainly not going to be a rational person who understands what's going on in Chicago and people want to defend themselves against, you know, like you said, 52 shooting incidences this weekend. These are the types of things that the American people have a right to defend themselves. In countries where they've abandoned this sort of right, and there are plenty of them out there, they don't have the type of, you know, peace that we necessarily do. They want, you know, the government to own all the weapons. Just go to, you know, I used to live in Europe, and the people that own the weapons are either the government or the criminals. And so the individual citizen, unless you have a shotgun for chasing what few wild animals are still in the hills in most of Western Europe, which are very few, then you don't have nothing to defend yourself against. And in this particular culture, if we don't have a means to defend ourselves, then you're in trouble. You know, where I am this evening is in the state of Wyoming. And in the state of Wyoming, there are probably more guns than there are people. And guess what? You know, we don't have a crime problem out here. I can't imagine
why. It's open carry, isn't it? In Wyoming, is open carry?
Oh, it is. And you know, we don't have a law or a criminal problem out here because criminals understand. I don't know how many of the people in this room, but at least half of them are probably carrying, and I'm not going to get the opportunity to do anything in a criminal way because they're going to either kill me or wound me or put me in my place.
Yeah, it is interesting because there is no way that you can go back historically and really make the argument that we shouldn't be armed except for if we're in the military. This is the argument that they make, that the militia and the military. I mean, clearly it's for self-defense, and it's also for defense against a tyrannical government, which there are other safeguards in our system as well. I have to tell you that the one chapter that hit me the most here was chapter 3. And by the way, for those just tuning in, our guest tonight is Bob McGinnis. His new book is Progressive Evil, and it is available through Defender Publishing. You can also pick it up over at Amazon.com. Again, Progressive Evil. All right, chapter three here. You start out, the title of chapter three is Psychological and Biblical Considerations of Modern Progressivism. And you say here, Fox News host Tucker Carlson suggested that progressives have gone crazy. Quote, their new position is that it is immoral to restrict any kind of immigration from any country in any amount for any reason ever, end quote. And that's about right.
Yeah.
And I always ask these liberals that I debate with, I say, okay, so have you opened your house to these immigrants? Well, no, I don't have space for them. I said, well, wait a minute. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, I'm all for immigration and there being some, you know, sit down, figure out how many we can take, what skills we need, and come up with a good system for that. And maybe we need to update our system. But just this idea that we should just have open borders, I'm with, Trump and Michael Savage, no borders, no country.
Yeah, well, you take away the borders, you have virtually no country. And that's the loony aspect of this. You know, I do call progressives crazy. And I say they evidence symptoms of delusional disorder, which is really called psychotic disorder. You know, all you have to do is ask yourself, you know, they often believe things are real that are truly imagined. Elizabeth Warren thinks she's a native Indian. You know, Beto O'Rourke, you know, this guy thinks he's Hispanic, but the reality is both parents of him are Irish. And then, you know, Kamala Harris.
He couldn't be more Irish, right, than Beto
that's
O'Rourke,
right.
And Francis O'Rourke. I mean, and now he's, but people believe he's now, maybe this is a new thing, you can select your ethnicity like everything else.
His Spanish is not good anyway. Kamala Harris, she claims to be African American by a number of statements, but the reality is her mother is Indian, the country of India. Her father was Jamaican, and also, by the way, he was a Marxist. And then she claims that she was part of the segregation movement in California. Well, she grew up in Berkeley, California. She was born the year after those schools were integrated. So how in the world could she's relatively young in comparison to me, could she believe that, you know, she in fact was part of that movement? Then you have this whole idea of elitism, you know, and that goes back to Hegel and Marx and so forth, which kind of generated in the 18th, 19th century the idea of progressivism. They believe in themselves, self-grandizement, they're narcissistic. And then, of course, you have this illiberal aspect, this intolerance that they evidence against people that disagree with them. If you don't embrace their radical views, they're going to, as we've already said, they're going to call you a evil person, a racist, or something like that. They always go after those that don't embrace their radical views. So, you know, if you look at, you know, psychologically, now, these people clearly, you know, fit the profile of a psychotic disorder because of the things that they say and they believe based upon their writings and so forth.
One more question on the media and the First Amendment. Where do you think we're headed? I was watching CNN a little bit today, and one of the anchors this evening literally started out and named off what she claimed to be like 15 lies and conspiracies that the president made up. And then she went into whatever the news story was. Is there any real news anymore? I mean, CNN, it's in all the airports. It's supposed to be sort of the news channel of record. And it's getting not, I mean, at one point it was opinion, but now it's really beyond opinion. It's just personal attack on Trump 24/7. Where do we go from here with that?
Yeah, well, it is rather radical. And I stopped. I used to do CNN all the time. I've done it many, many hundreds of times. I stopped a few years ago because, you know, even on the topics in which I'm a true expert, national security and foreign affairs, I have great insight. And I've spent 5 decades doing this stuff, that they were starting to say things and they wouldn't listen to certain aspects of things that I knew were distortions that they were making. And so I said, no, I'm just No more. I'm not going to grace their airways anymore, because they are not reliable when it comes to, of course, the First Amendment. You know, the First Amendment has a number of ingredients, and of course, you know, most of us think of the freedom of speech, but also the idea of freedom of religion, which is near and dear to me. You know, they want to put our faith in a box and say, you can do whatever inside that box you want. But the first time you start to live out that in this general culture, we're going to constrain you. So if you have a business and you want to, you know, say, no, I'm not going to serve you because you want to do something I consider immoral or immoral, I'm not going to do that. And of course, we've had a whole host of court cases, whether you're a photographer and refuse to do
like the gay couple
marriages.
They call every baker in town to find the one that won't make their wedding cake, and then it becomes a federal lawsuit.
And then the ACLU, you know, jumps on it, and they try to intimidate people and the like. And they've done a reasonably good job of doing intimidation. They threaten pastors. They threaten congregations. I mean, the First Amendment, the founders did not want to establish a state religion. You know, they came from Great Britain. They were certainly influenced by the Huguenots that came over from France after the persecution by, you know, being forced to, you know, put French soldiers in their homes until they converted to Catholicism. You know, our ancestors escaped from that. They said, our founders, when we establish this nation, we're not going to prescribe what religion you are. We're going to have an open marketplace on religion. You practice your faith as you see fit, and I'm not going to stipulate what you can and cannot do. Well, that's exactly what progressives want. They want us to worship their religion. Their religion is progressivism, and their God is big government. Big government can do everything it wants to do to you and me if given the opportunity. And these are the types of things we as Americans need to push back against. We need to understand our civics. And yet, it's thanks to progressive educators, they've erased civics education in public schools. We used to have that, you know, up until 30, 40 years ago. Certainly when I was, you know, coming up in the 50s and the 60s, you know, I did get some civics in my 9th grade, but you don't find that anymore. You have what they call social studies, and social studies is how to basically remold, you know, the clay that they pull out of the homes of America into something that is going to project a tolerance that is going to allow these, what I consider, evil ideas to creep within the entire culture. It's going to give the progressives the power they need to run this country, ultimately to make it irrelevant.
And chapter 11 in your book, Progressive Evil, is about the impact on education. And I know teachers, people that work in the school system, and they have so many things to deal with. They've got you know, a little boy that wants to be called a girl, and then the next year they want to be a boy again. It used to be if you went on a field trip, you could kind of like separate the boys from the girls. They're like, the girls sit on one side of the bus, the boys sit on the other side. Then when you're setting up hotel rooms, now you don't know what to do. You don't know this is all going to work out. And there's now a focus on the kids that are not following the rules are the focus, that we've got to spend more time focusing on them. And as you point out in your book, chapter 11, a lot of people are just going to homeschooling because they're just sick of it. And so many millions and millions of dollars are going from our taxes into these public schools, and there's hardly any education going on at all because of all of this social experimenting.
Yeah, well, Jim, if you look at international testing among Western nations, we are trending to the very bottom, you know, and yet what are we spending? Well in excess of $600 billion annually on K-12 education, more than $13,000 for every public school student, yet they can't read, they can't write, they can't do arithmetic. These are simple things. They're, you know, the president was in a in a brouhaha with Cummings over in Baltimore. Well, of all the high schools in Baltimore, as I understand, not a single person, not a single student passed the national math test that is supposed to be used for high school students. You know, that's a travesty. Yeah, and yet we're spending billions of dollars in Baltimore trying to put that city together. It's not working. And we even have, you know, about 44 million Americans who graduated from our high schools that are functionally illiterate. You know, these things are not to be dismissed, because our nation, if it's going to compete against the likes of China or other nations, we have to have a reasonably educated people, a population, workers, people that can do the trades, people that can, you know, teach tomorrow's kids and so forth. And yet, you know, progressives, all they want is more money, more social engineering, and they want to destroy this country in a way that is very contrary to where we began. Because I go through the history of this great nation. We used to be the most literate nation in the world. And this, of course, was in the early part of the 19th century. And rapidly, you know, toward the late 19th, early 20th century, when progressives, the progressive era began to really take charge, these people moved in, they took control of the educational establishment, and they started to take it in a very, very different direction. In fact, if you read through the history of some of these luminaries in the American education establishment, they were praising the Soviet Union and the education system there. And I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
They're introducing these kids to these topics like transgenderism and homosexuality and all of these details, even on the heterosexual lifestyle, to where these kids are sexualized by the time they're in the fifth or sixth grade. They're sexually active by the time they get to middle school. It's just unreal. I mean, and you've got kids bringing guns to school, knives to school, drugs to school, all these things that are going on. And you can't blame a parent that says, you know what, I'm doing the homeschooling thing. This is just,
that's right.
This is not for us. And more people are doing that. It's been so good to have you with us again. Bob, I love this book, and it's one of your, you know, great works here. It's, what do we got here? Over 450 pages, all footnoted, all the details here. We've just barely scratched the surface. It's called Progressive Evil. Tell people again how they can get the book. And also, we got a lot of people interested in audiobooks and Kindle books. So tell us if any of that is available as well.
Well, it is on Amazon. You can get the Kindle or the print copy, and you know, just sign on to Amazon. And I'd love to get some reviews, preferably good reviews. And I think you'll find that this is sort of, yeah, I did a couple of years ago, as you know, Jim, the deeper state and explain what was going on. This is digging deep into our great country and where we came from. And people need to appreciate what is going on in America today. This is really eye-opening. And I think that nobody that reads it will regret having spent the time in going through and understanding our history and where these people intend to take this great nation.
Thank you so much for being with us again. The book Progressive Evil, and Bob McGinnis, great, great book. We look forward to having you back again, sir. Thank you again.
Yeah, my privilege. Thanks a lot, Jim.
Thank you. Wow. What an interview. Bob McGinnis, there's no other guy like that. I mean, he just says it as it is. And I'll tell you, if you want a book that just really, I mean, nails it and gives you all the details and the backup, you can grab this book. I'm looking at the cover here. It's $19.95. It's in paperback. And I will mention this to our listeners. There is a way many times, if you go to the Defender publishing site, that they have packages where you can get like 5 or 10 books for a deal. And that's something else to look at too, or go directly to Amazon and help Bob out. Write a nice review for his book when you get a copy of it. It's called Progressive Evil, and you can grab it over at Amazon. Hey, thanks so much for joining us. We'll be off next week. I might have a pre-recorded show for you because I'm traveling. We will see about that, but we will be back live in 2 weeks. And remember, if it's Sunday night, it's Jim Paris Live. We'll talk to you next time. So long, everybody.